Born in Scotland, of Indian descent, Anita Sengupta moved to the United States to pursue a dream, to build things that would journey to other worlds. Today, she's an aerospace engineer at NASA's Jet Propulsion Laboratory in California.
So that was my first experience with failure. So that was the part that scared me the most, which was they could never do a test of that. So even with the parachutes, at least we were able to do a subscale test, for example. But the sky crane is even, I would say, more difficult than that. So it's very challenging, but unfortunately, it's the only way to do it.
Had you pictured in your head what failure would look like, and particularly what failure would look like had your system been responsible for that failure?
Well, so during the course of any development program, especially one which relies off of testing, you're going to experience failure. So our very, very first test that we did, dropping it off of a helicopter out in the desert in Boise, Idaho, failed. So that was my first experience with failure. So at that point, you're like, oh, well, it's actually already landed. So that was probably the first time where I felt a sense of, I wouldn't say fear, but a sense of apprehension. So you always have to take a little bit of risk, right? I think I was in a, I had a slight mild shake going. So everyone's like, yeah! And the next thing happens, you're watching the telemetry camera, like, yeah! And the parachute's like, yeah, it worked! So it was just a sense of nervousness, but extreme excitement.
Well, what's next for you? What are you onto now? You've moved on from Mars exploration.
Yes, so I had this other unique opportunity. Somebody asked me at work, there's a scientist who's proposing a mission to develop an instrument for the International Space Station, which is going to be the coldest spot in the universe, and it's going to create a new state of matter. And they said, do you want to work on it? And I'm like, okay, it sounds really weird and neat. And so I developed the proposal for it, like from the engineering side with the scientists. So this is a trillion times colder than the temperature of space. And so when you actually become absolute zero, your wave function occupies the entire universe. So it's impossible to get down to absolute zero. So it's kind of esoteric and hard to visualize, but you can actually see it. So that's what we image when we create one of these states. And so there's some fascinating science to it because we have no idea.
So it deploys at 2 times the speed of sound. So it's very, very large. So it collapses and inflates, and it collapses and inflates. So it is kind of funny. I call it the supersonic jellyfish. So what we did was we built little subscale parachutes, roughly 3%. So on Earth, for sport parachuting applications, you always operate a parachute at subsonic speeds. So our number one challenge was being able to open up the parachute at these supersonic speeds, the largest Mars parachute ever.
What was it like there in the room for you guys?
I think I was in a, I had a slight mild shake going.
And what's next for you?
Yes. And I'm like, okay, it sounds really weird and neat. And so I developed the proposal for it, like from the engineering side with the scientist. And so we get down to a temperature of 100 times 10 to the minus 12 Kelvin. So the temperature of space is, I think, around 3 Kelvin. So this is a trillion times colder than the temperature of space. And so when you actually become absolute zero, your wave function occupies the entire universe. So it's impossible to get down to absolute zero. But as you cool yourself to colder and colder temperatures, your wave function actually gets larger and larger. You actually are no longer a solid, a liquid, or a gas. You're a different state of matter. And you actually become a wave. So it's kind of esoteric and hard to visualize, but you can actually see it. So that's what we image when we create one of these states.
When you were growing up, were you always the smartest girl in the class?
I was the quietest girl in the class. I always did well in school, but I was very shy. And I was shy for many, many years, and the only reason why I stopped being shy is because I realized that in order to be successful, you have to advocate for yourself, and you have to push forward your ideas so that you can be successful. So I think I changed as I got older. So like I said, I was a shy person. I decided not to be shy anymore. I never used to like to talk or give presentations. Now I try and do as much outreach as I can.
Well, how do you do that? How do you just choose not to be shy? That's not a decision most people are able to make.
Because you put yourself in a situation where you have no choice.
So
I'm going to join, I decided to join the JPL Speakers Bureau. So there I put myself in a situation where I had to go and give public talks. I love characters who are tortured souls, and so I always loved Spock. I thought he was a tortured soul.
Do you identify with tortured souls?
I don't know. I certainly like them, though.
In an ideal world, would you take that mission to Mars, knowing what you know about rocket science and the difficulties?
So, and that's interesting. So I think, yes, I would love to go to Mars.